It's Saturday Night
Five.
Saturday night.
Get ready for the Saturday night.
Louder.
Saturday night's alright.
On Saturday night.
Okay, folks, welcome to Dynasty Saturday Night 5. We are live here on a Saturday night to talk Dynasty Fantasy Football. Sorry for the delay, a little technical difficulties. The technology being my brain that dozed off a little bit longer than I intended. Please subscribe, rate, and review if you're on the audio feed. If you're here watching us on YouTube, either now or later, please make sure that you subscribe to the channel, like the video, leave some comments, et cetera, et cetera. I'm Brian Ford here with my co-host, as usual, Josh Walker. Josh, how you doing?
Doing great. I also took a nap, so there should be no excuses for us having any mistakes or, you know, mispronouncing names, or we should be well rested, right?
I will say the opposite. Yes, that we're groggy and foggy, and we're just getting started, and so don't expect much from us at all. Actually,
that sounds like me and Dynasty.
So, the logo contest. We got one person who was interested, and they didn't get back to me, and I heard from two other folks who do graphic work, and one of them I know like a long time, well, long time for fantasy football, you know, last few years. We're in like nine dynasty leagues together, and the sentiment that they expressed to me was like, you should pay people for this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
so, and I don't necessarily disagree with them, right? I mean, you know, so I don't know, like, I think maybe we should pull it, you know, and figure something else out with this, because I mean, you know, like, we're not just breaking a whole lot of hearts because they're the guy who was interested didn't send it in yet. And I don't know, like, I don't like unpaid labor myself. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think given both of our stances on that, it'd be a tid hypocritical to not have that stance. So I'm fine with that. Maybe we could pitch in a few bucks ourselves to do it, because I'm down if it's good and I like it, you know. So
okay,
maybe we should do that.
All right. For those of you who don't know or don't remember, Dynasty Saturday Night 5 is a show where we talk about Dynasty Fantasy Football using lists of five simply as the vehicle to do it, to chop it up. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about sort of like where we're at with our current rankings. NFL draft is over, kind of first wave of rookie drafts is winding down. And we had to, you know, make our dynasty rankings and tiers and publish them on goingfor2.com and that sort of thing, with the rookies included now with the vets. And so we took a look and we said, oh, you know, there's some interesting discrepancies, disparities, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Jamie, giving us way too much praise, best dynasty show live on YouTube. We just told you that, like, we both just woke up from a nap, so don't expect much tonight. But you know, we'll see. So just, you know, before we get started with the list, when it comes to rankings, I don't know that I've come up with a really great way to do them yet. I've been at it for a few years, and it's not like the order in which I take them in a startup draft. It's not like the order in which I think their value is in the trade market, right? Like, it's a mix of things, right? Like current production, expected production, current value, expected value, talent, situation, right? That sort of thing. I don't know that I've come up with like a really exact formula for it. I think I'm much better than I was a while back. What goes into your process when you're thinking about rankings?
You know, this is actually going into my second year. This last year was my first year actually doing rankings for football. I'd made my own in a spreadsheet for baseball before. And so I'm trying this year because I'm doing a lot of startups. So I am doing mine not 100% on how I would draft these people in a dynasty startup draft, but that is probably about 50% of what I put into it. Mm-hmm. It helps me also doing, now that I've gotten more experience with Dynasty, it helps me stay aligned to how I really feel and not get caught up in drafts, trying to do different things. But it's mostly that. Some of it is emotion, too. There are just some players I just refuse to like, and I don't want them. I've talked about a few here. So, I mean, I think we'd be lying if some emotion didn't go into it, too. But, yeah, it's a lot of how I take them, also future value. And this one a lot was guessing how things would go with new players and spots, you know, new teams, new coaches. So,
right, yeah,
for learning sure. it, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, anytime you're putting rookies in or – or thinking about the dudes who are affected by those rookies. It's, yeah. All right.
It's a lot of conjecture, really. Right now, at least.
Well, I mean, especially for you and I want to speak for you, but, like, I don't sit down and do, like cold projections for every single player and team. And that's just not, like, I just don't have the time or really even the desire for that. It's not really how my brain, like, does it, but, you know. Jamie here saying that he does his rankings alphabetically, which, hey, you know, whatever works, right? I have a fun story about that, but before we spiral into anything that's completely unwatchable, today's show is brought to you by Underdog. Underdog Fantasy is industry leader, best ball tournaments, private leagues, pick'ems, every major sport, not just football. Scratch that itch, get involved in best ball season, right? They got best ball mania going on. I broke down and joined a best ball mania league. I kind of don't really know what I'm doing, but yeah, just having fun anyway. Well, we are an affiliate. So if you are a new account on Underdog, when you make your first deposit and use the promo code GF2, they will match your deposit up to $100. So you deposit $100, you got $200 now to play with. So if you're watching here on video, because we're fancy, you can scan that QR code here that we have on the screen. Otherwise, go to goingfor2.com or go to underdog.com or the Underdog app and use the promo code GF2. Get a deposit match of up to $100. Start playing, maybe even start winning. All right, time to get into me telling Josh why he's completely wrong about rankings. And so I spent a lot of time on a lot of stuff with this show sheet, and then, like, I left the jazziest stuff for last, which means, like, I didn't really do the jazziest stuff all that jazzy. How about that? How about that for Jazzy? You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So first person we're going to talk about is DJ Moore. So the number that you see there in brackets is sort of the average from everything, all the rankings and ADP I pulled. Wide receiver right about, 22. Josh has him at 20, and I have him at 29. Josh has him between Pittman and Hollywood. I have him between Dotson and TMC. Josh, this is one that you wanted to talk about. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah. So, honestly, I've never been that high on DJ Moore, but most of that was with his quarterback play. And a lot of this is also, which we'll talk about another one later on, I think the Bears' offense in general is just going to be a lot better than it was last year. I see Justin Fields kind of making a jump like Jalen Hurts did, maybe not to that extent, but improving his passing, improving his decisions, and just being more accurate like he was in college, and we know he can be. And honestly, I think he could be the Fields of Stephon Diggs. Like, he could be what Stephon Diggs is for Josh Allen, but for Justin Fields. He's shown throughout his career, he's threatened 1,200 yards every year. He gets a lot of targets, and I think he's going to be the main guy that Justin Fields looks for, and given his downfield threat with Claypool, Justin Fields' big arm, I just think he's going to have a career year. And he finally broke the 4-touchdown curse. So yeah. I don't know what else there is really holding him back. He's still pretty young, too. So.
Yeah. You know, for me, I don't necessarily disagree that this is, like, the best quarterback he's had, or that, like, you know, he's the best receiver, you know, Fields has had. I mean, I just the passing volume, right? They've got to increase the passing volume to a certain extent, and while also incorporating Darnell Mooney back into the offense. And you know, that how big does that jump in volume have to be for DJ Moore to really be what people think he is or what we've wanted him to be this whole time? I don't know. I'm just kind of like over him. It's just kind of like, okay, well, you know, he's DJ Moore. He's, you know, a middling wide receiver too, and he always will be. And, you know, we kind of know what he is. And I just don't see it, the spike in volume being there enough to really sustain him to be all that good. And as anything with rankings too, it's also about like, you know, who are you going to put him above and who are you going to put him below, you know? And I just have other guys that I'd rather put above him, you know? And, you know, like I've got Dotson above him. I've got Judy above him. I've got Deontay Johnson above him. You know, I've got Jordan Addison above him, you know, guys that, you know, a number of people have below him. So, you know, that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah. I kind of point to Drake London last year. You know, the Falcons were terribly low, like pass efficiency and how much they passed the ball, didn't have good quarterbacks, but Drake London still had a pretty good year, especially for a rookie. So I think DJ Moore can still, if he's the guy that gets, you know, 30% of the targets or whatever, I think he still has a chance, even without a huge spike in the passing volume.
Okay. All right. I mean, I love Fields and I want to see it, you know, so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll adjust, of course, if I'm wrong. All right. The one that I want to talk about is 2022 rookie running backs. If you were in the late first or early second, a lot of folks were spending a pick on James Cook or Rashad White. And I am below basically everybody on these guys. You can see the averages there. James Cook right around RB29 and Rashad White right around RB21, 22. I've got Cook at 36 between Achane and Connor, whereas Josh has him at 25 between Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones. For me, with Cook, I was never really big on him coming out of college. He did flash okay, you know, last year. I just don't see really any reason that he makes, you know, that big a jump into like, you know, solid RB2 territory. I think the offense, while they say they want to run more, they did bring in a hammer, Damian Harris, you know. They did, you know, draft Dalton Kincaid to, you know, beef up the intermediate pass game. I just, you know, they drafted James Cook for a role that they don't even really use. They don't even like throw to the running backs really all that much. I've always thought he's been overrated, and there's just a number of guys I'd like above him. Rashad White has been I have him at 31. You have him at 21. I have him between Kendre and B-Rob. You have him between Kamara and Dalvin. I have always been a sell on Rashad White since Lenny Fournette got cut, right? One of the reasons I was a sell on him is because people thought he was a buy, right? I just thought he was going to be overvalued because Fournette vacated. Didn't like him all that much coming out of college. Like my RB5 or 6, I think, in that class. You know, had a very meh 2022, was not as efficient as even, you know, Lenny was that year. Did catch 50 passes, and you like that, but you know, not many touchdowns. You've got a putrid offense probably, you know, with Baker Mayfield at quarterback and, you know, a possibly rebuilding team. I just do not like Rashad White. And, you know, when I see that I'm this, you know, this well below the market on him, that therefore he becomes a sell for me. When I think, you know, a player is overvalued, he becomes a sell for me. Right, like KTC has him at 22, right? Fantasy Calc at 21, Dynasty Trade Calculator at 18, Fantasy Pros at 19, Football Guys at 23, right? You know, DLF ADP is 20, Bulletproof ADP is 20, and here I am at 31. That tells me, you know, it's just a guy that I want to move off of that people like a whole lot better than I do, and you know, especially at the running back position, give me a plus on a guy who I have ranked higher that somebody else has ranked lower. You know, such as, let's see here. So I have them in a tier of like 29 to 37. So, you know, I bet I could get a plus on top of Khalil Herbert. For some people, Cam Akers. For some people, Dalvin Cook. You know, and for some people, Damian Pierce, you know. Definitely for people, Charb and Tank Bigsby, would get, they would give me a plus on top of those. Those are all guys that I have ahead of Rashad White.
Yeah, I don't know. I think having Charb above it, which I figured we might talk about later, if not a whole other episode, he hasn't even played a slap. I don't know if I could jump that far ahead. You know, I might be a little high on Rashad White, but I also don't think the passing volume is going to drop as much as people think now that Tom Brady's gone. I mean, their main weapons are Rashad White, one of the best receiving backs coming out of college. One of the better, not best. Then you got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, you'd be kind of silly not to give it to your weapons. I think that's going to be a lot of passing, hopefully a lot of dump-offs. And I think he's going to get a lot more carries between the tackles. And while some metrics don't point to him being as good, and then I think the sheer volume of it and given his ability to receive is good enough for me to get him over some of these older backs who – which I used to draft more last year, but I kind of shifted. I've kind of stopped drafting older backs and tried to get some younger ones.
Well, speaking of older backs, one thing I forgot to mention is, like, you know, people think he's just automatically going to be like a 1A there. He's not built for it. He's not good enough for it. And by the way, they could still re-sign Lenny. They have Tucker as a UDFA. Dalvin Cook could go there. Zeke could go there, right? Like, there's just, I don't know. I cannot get excited about Rashad White. You know, there's somebody in the dynasty community who's, you know, more well known than I am. And we were talking a little bit on YouTube comments, and he thinks Rashad White is essentially discount Tony Pollard and is a big buy. And I just don't see it.
Yeah. I could, honestly, I could see it going either way, but I'm going to take the chance that it does. And, trying to draft him a lot more, which I have. Yeah, James Cook. I think James Cook is just really good. I wasn't as high in college, but I was actually really impressed with him last year. You know, 5.7 yards per carry behind a not great offensive line, and he's still a really good receiving back. And I do think they'll run it more, and I think Josh Allen will run it less. And I think, at least in my head, and I could be wrong on this, instead of running, I think the easiest thing to do instead of take a sack is just dump it off to your running back. So I'm hoping he'll get a lot more targets this year without Josh Allen running as much. If they stick to that, they might not, like you said, they might just keep doing what they're doing, and I'll look stupid again holding the Bills running back.
If I were to pick one where I believe maybe I'm too low on, I think I would choose Cook over White, even though I have White ranked a few spots above. But of course, you know, that means I'm too low on Cook.
No, and one more comment on Rashad White. I think the Bucs will re-sign Lenny or sign Zeke. And I still don't care because those guys have shown they can't really do that much right now. So I think Rashad White will get plenty of chances. Might be better for him, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know that they can do much, but like, I think it certainly caps the ceiling of people it thinking does. He's like this 1A. Like he said, oh, you can draft anybody you want, Jeff Bijan, I'll be fine. You know, change his uniform number to one. Like, okay, fine. Maybe he's like super motivated and I'm going to be proven wrong. You know, we'll see about that. So the next one up that we're going to talk about is backup quarterbacks. I know this isn't like the sexiest thing to talk about, right? But one thing that we noticed was that we're quite different on backup quarterbacks Jacoby Brissett and Taylor Heinicke. Interestingly enough, Brissett plays for Washington now, and Heinicke used to play for Washington. I have Brissett at 43. I'm sorry, at 36 between Levis and Heinicke. I have Heinicke 37 between Brissett and Jameis. You have Brissett at 43 between Trubisky and Heinicke, and Heinicke at 44 between Brissett and Wentz. This is one that you picked that you wanted to talk about. Tell me why I'm too high on these backup quarterbacks.
Well, it's mainly two things. It's my thought process of people ahead of him. And also, I'm just higher on Sam Howell and even Desmond Ridder this year. the clips I've seen, I know it's early, they're still in shorts and whatnot, but he looks a lot better throwing the ball. He looks more accurate throwing on the run. And it looks like he beefed up a little bit too. So I'm a little bit higher on them than most. I don't see them losing their playing time without an injury. So I did bake that into it with some of the guys I have ahead of them. I think have a chance of the person ahead of them just not being as good or have a lot more injury history. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of that. I'm higher on the original quarterbacks, and I think it'll take injury. So I'm going to look and see who I have ahead. So ahead of Brissett, Trubisky. I think Trubisky has a better chance of playing just by because I'm not as high on Kenny Pickett. Mike White, too, has concussions. Davis Mills, he's got a rookie quarterback. He's not great. He was the one I thought about moving down. Jameis Winston, I think, is just better than both of them. Tyler Huntley is one of the better handcuffs, and then Darnold. So it's really just the people above them, I think, will either play more or have a better chance of getting into games without an injury. So I try not to bake injuries too much or, like, trying to predict it. Like that, so.
Yeah, we're not too far apart on Howell and Ritter. Like, you only have Howell three spots above me and Ritter only one spot above me. But I guess my thing is I don't necessarily have as much confidence in their grasp on the job, right? And that's why I have their backups elevated, right?
Yeah.
To me, these backups are some of the best backups in football. And Jacoby Brissett, mobile for his age and certainly mobile for other quarterbacks his age, did a, you know, commendable job, you know, while before Watson was able to play last year, has always been reliable, really, wherever he is, to be, you know, a competent person who, you know, isn't necessarily going to lose you games. And, you know, I still have question marks about Ritter and Howell. You know, not that I, you know, am out on them completely. I've got some shares of each. Probably a little more optimistic about Ritter, you know, but I think I see a world in which, you know, whatever, you know, Heineke's the starter by week six, and there's also a non-zero chance that Brissett's the starter by week six there. So I'm going to lump them in with other quarterbacks who kind of may have a shot at playing, you know, in a tier with guys like, you know, Jameis Winston or Davis Mills and Tyler Huntley. I just have them like above those guys, and you have them below.
Yeah. No, it seems to be just slightly different philosophy of how going about it. Because I'm not that impressed with Brissett. I think, like Jamie said in the comments, he's better for real life than fantasy. And I do my rankings for fantasy more so than who's a real life player. And honestly, I've seen enough from Heineke to where I'm not super impressed anymore. I don't think I mean, like you said, he's a good backup, but that's literally it. So,
yeah, Jamie brings up a fair point, right? Like Brissett being better for real life than fantasy of averaging 11.6 per game, you know. Okay, you know, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Let's see. Interestingly enough, with these guys, I looked and the football guys' rankings have him all the way down at Brissett, all the way down at 50. They have him between Bailey Zappi and Skylar Thompson. So definitely low.
They got on the third string quarterback. Is Skylar Thompson still with the Dolphins?
Yeah. Yeah. He's
so they have a third string quarterback above him then.
Well, right. He's below Zappi and above Thompson. So,
oh
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and
still,
and with Heineke on Dynasty Trade Calculator, he's the 54th ranked quarterback between Teddy B and Cooper Rush. So, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I am a little too optimistic about the chances for these guys to grab playing time at some point in 2023.
Yeah. I mean, I would hate having McLaurin, Dotson, or Curtis Samuel Brissett as a quarterback, if I'm being honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, okay, so the 2022 quarterbacks, right? Like, Howell, for me, you know, he was kind of tough. I think he was, like, my quarterback two or three. And then Ritter was, like, my four or five. I just was never a big Ritter believer. I, I'll, I'll cop to that Ritter looked pretty good, you know, in the small sample size, and certainly better than Mariota. And there's reasons for optimism for both him and his weapons around him. You know, but maybe it's that. Maybe that I was just never really all that impressed with them as prospects, nor have we seen much out of Howell besides a game or two. Yeah. And the 2022 quarterback class was so bleh anyway. Maybe that's coloring my analysis. What do you think about that? Am I just left hangover from the 2022 rookie class?
Yeah, once you said that, it made a lot of sense. Because, I mean, Ritter, I was expecting him to come in, throw some bad interceptions, make some bad fumbles, and he actually protected the ball pretty well. And that's, with the style of offense they were running, what I was looking for out of a young player. So I was pretty happy with that. So it might just be a little bit of hangover, and Howell didn't have hardly any chance to play much. So, yeah.
Well, and you mentioned when we were talking about, like, some of the backups that you have above him, you said you had Trubisky above him. Because you weren't that high on Pickett. You have Pickett at 25. I have him at 23. 25 is probably about the lowest I've seen him. We're going to talk about that in a second, actually, because he's the only quarterback that we have different in our entire top 24. you have Stafford in there and Pickett out, and I have Pickett in there and Stafford out. So. That's pretty interesting. So I mean, again, I don't love Pickett, but you know, improved as the year went on. The offense improved as the year went on. Najee, who we'll talk about a little later, improved as the year went on. I don't know. I just I think he's gonna be better than he was last year. I mean, you know, nothing on fire. I only have him a couple spots ahead of you, but you sound like you really don't like Kenny Pickett.
No, not really. And a lot of that's just, I don't know if it's like Steelers fan bases as a whole, because they do it with George Pickens and they make Kenny Pickett seem like, you know, he's a QB1. You know, George Pickens is now better than Deontay Johnson. So I think a lot of it's just a little bit of spite, if I'm being honest, just all the love I'm seeing. And I just don't, you know, I don't really see it. And I just think, not by a lot, because I have Mr. Trubisky one spot ahead of them. I just think he's a little bit younger, and, you know, he might throw more interceptions, but he'll definitely try and get the ball out to his weapons, and I don't know.
Yeah, and he's pretty mobile too, so you know, he's got that going for him. All right, the next one on my list is Cole Kmet, right? So Cole Kmet's an interesting story for me because he's a tight end that I was high on. Like, I think my first article for Going for Two was, you know, pumping up Cole Kmet in Dynasty. And, you know, when it came to the number of targets he was going to get in the offense and et cetera, et cetera. And just, you know, he kind of had a shot last year. And we saw the team has low passing volume. We saw, you know, Fields is going to use his legs a lot. He only threw for 2,200 yards. And, you know, if he doesn't get good luck with touchdowns, which I guess you could say about a lot of tight ends, he just doesn't seem like the guy, or at least the guy I thought he was, right? And then you throw in that, you know, we've added rookies into the mix, you know, plus as much as, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Robert Tonyan, and he's kind of, you know, still living off that one, you know, explosive year of a few games he had with Rodgers. You know, Tonyan is there. Mooney's returning to the offense. The possible Mooney heir apparent, Tyler Scott, was added. They have a very good running game, which means that, you know, even if they do expand the passing volume, it's not going to be a whole lot. So Cole Kmet's averaging about tight end 15.67 out in the streets. I have him at 22 between Jelani Woods and Luke Musgrave, and you have him still at 16, staying afloat there. Of course, you're closer to what people seem to think. He's between Laporta and Chig for you. Am I a spurned Kmet lover who is just a woman scorn here and having fury toward my old flame, Cole Kmet? Tell me why I should have him higher.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, honestly. So I watched a lot of Bears game, mainly because I was very invested in Justin Fields. And also, I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I wanted Cole Kmet to do well.
Oh, and, well, you know, you're biased too, then. Forget it.
A little bit. But I did move him down a lot. I had him going into last year almost, you know, I don't remember exactly, but up there 12, 13. So I had to move him back some, realizing the low pass volume. But he did have 7 touchdowns. The yards weren't great. But he had a few big plays. They tried to get him the ball a lot. And watching some of the games, he made some really good catches, made some one-hand catches, a lot of catches contested in traffic. And I think that's just something that he has, and that's something that he's going to continue to be able to use and be able to, you know, exploit over DBs and smaller linebackers, just the ability to go catch the ball and be sure-handed. And I think he's going to be the number two, which we talked about last episode, Darnell Mooney getting bumped down. I think they're going to try and get him the ball some more.
So
it's just his overall ability. I like it.
You have 3 guys below him that I like above him, in Chig, Juwan Johnson, and Evan Engram. You know, I have Evan Engram, you know, 17. It's not like I have him, you know, 12 or 13. I recognize some of what's going on there with the franchise tag. They draft a tight end with the second round. You know, they've got other weapons like Ridley and Kirk and whatnot. But I'm wondering why you have Chig below him or Juwan Johnson below him when there's just, I don't know, a lot more, I think, ceiling and upside with those guys.
Yeah, the ceiling, this is honestly, Cole Kmet's a floor play when it comes to tight ends, in my opinion. And, you know, it wavers on team build, which one I want to go with, because I've drafted Chig over Cole Kmet before, given what I'm trying to do with the team.
Sure. Yeah.
But the thing that hurts Chig the most to me is he plays on just as low of a passing volume team with a worse quarterback than Cole Kmet has.
That's fair. That's fair.
So that's the main thing with him. And Juwan Johnson, I think there's just – I really like him. I talked about him being a buy a few episodes ago. But there are a lot of mouth to feeds. If Kamara doesn't get expelled or suspended, whatever, he's going to get a lot of targets. Chris Olave is going to get targets. And I really like Rashid Shaheed a lot. And I think he's going to get some more targets too. So it's just more mouths to feed than I think there is, you know, Cole Kmet and DJ Moore. So that's the main reasons for those two.
Yeah, Jamie in the chat, that he's got Kmet around 20th, which is closer to me, but still higher than Fant, who he's kind of given up on. I'm kind of with you. Like, I don't know about giving up on, but like, what has Noah Fant done to like ride a ranking in tight ends anywhere above, like, I don't know.
I have Fant at 28.
Seriously, where do I have him?
I don't know.
I'm at 29. Yeah, it's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, so yeah, we're not big fans of Noah Fant either.
I was 3 or 4 years ago, but
You know, yeah, a lot of people were, right? Like, he was, what was he, the 2016 class, 17 class? Noah Fant? I forget. Something like
that. I was doing only redraft then, but
all right. All right, so one that you pulled here was Cam Akers. Cam Akers' average is about running back 26.22. Josh, you have him at 20 between Derrick Henry and Miles Sanders. I have him down at 27 between Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara. Talk to me about Akers.
Mostly what Akers is, I was completely out on him last year. I did not draft him in a single draft, except the one going for 2 league I did, and I got last place. So, I mean, coincidence. But he looked a lot better throughout the year. And at the end of the year, he looked like he had his explosiveness back. And I think a lot of that is realizing it takes longer time than we expected to get over an Achilles injury, like we've seen with a few other players. And so I think a full other offseason, he's still 23 years old. He doesn't have much competition behind him. I mean, I like Zach Evans where he was going, but, you know, Cam Akers is going to be the guy to start the year. And I think without injury, he's going to be really good. Like we saw, you know, when he first came on and towards the end of the year last year, he had a little bit more burst and explosion. So truly just his age, I think he's going to be healthy for the first time in a while. And last time he was healthy, he was really good.
Yeah, you know, I'll admit that, yeah, he did, you know, improve. And obviously after, the drama was over, you know, performed well. But I look at – he's you know, that I don't think he'll ever have the explosiveness back that he did pre-Achilles injury. I look at the fact that the team, you know, we know doesn't love him. He, you know, the offensive line isn't great. The quarterback, while competent and I think is somewhat of a buy, you know, there was rumors that he would retire after the year's over. And, you know, I don't think that Zach Evans, even though he's round six, or Tyon Evans, even though he's a UDFA, are chumps when it comes to competition for touches, you know, with Dalvin Cook. You know, I just think people are Cam Akers. I think people are overvaluing him. You know, I think he was a divisive prospect coming out, and I think if you were on him then, you kind of like want him to do well now. And I think if you weren't, you kind of, you know, still aren't, and are looking for that, you know, the negative side of that story. I mean, according to DTC, he's valued right around the 112. And I've seen him go straight up in a trade here that I pulled from these websites, straight up for the 108 and straight up for Geno. Would you make either of those trades?
Probably not. I don't think I'd really give up a first for it. Maybe if I was really needy and add a bunch of picks, a few extra maybe, but probably not. Hmm. I like Geno a lot too.
Right. You know, he's as much as, you know, Geno's Geno, he's still a starting quarterback in a super flex. But yet you have another trade go down that I pulled where, you know, Cam Akers goes for 223/3.
Yeah, I do that with a heartbeat.
Right. Like, you know, so I guess it's worth testing the market, seeing what the price is, whether you have him and want to sell him, or whether you don't have him and want to buy him, depending on how you feel about him, because, you know, his price definitely seems to vary. You know, I think one of the things that pushes him down for me is that I seem to be bullish on two older backs relative to you. I have David Montgomery and Aaron Jones at 19 and 20, and you have them at 28 and 26, right? And I just think that maybe that's a statement on how I feel about Gibbs and Dylan. You know, it's also, I think, a statement on that, I think the offenses want to use both of those backs. So, you know, that definitely pushes him down a few spots for me. Yeah. And explains, you know, some of the seven, you know, spot gap that we have we have in our ranks.
Yeah. For sure. I was looking at his last three games. He gave him 23 attempts, 118 yards, 19 attempts, 123, and 21 and 104. I don't expect that every game because I'll have Cooper Kupp back and Stafford will be back. But I think it at least hopefully gained a little bit of trust moving into this season.
Okay. I mean, you could convince me to put him above Dalvin Cook, who I have above him. You could probably convince me to put him above depending on what happens with Mixon, you know, I might have to knock Mixon down, you know. But I don't know that I'm putting him above, you know, Damian Pierce and then two guys we'll talk about later, which are Tank and Charbonnet. So, I mean, okay. Well, maybe I'm a little low. I wanted to be excited about him, but the more I thought about it, and then once they drafted Zach Evans, I was like, I don't know. All right. Yeah.
No, he's definitely polarizing for sure.
All right. Next on, well, speaking of, let's talk about this situation of the Jacksonville and Seattle backfields. This is one that I wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Etienne, I have ranked 13th between Dobbins and Walker, and you have Etienne ranked 9th between Walker and Pollard. I have Walker ranked 14th between Etienne and Javonte. You have Walker ranked 8th between Jacobs and Etienne. You are much closer to market on them as Etienne is averaging 7.22 and Walker 7.11. I have the other backs in the backfield for those teams also ranked above you. I have Tank at running back 23 between Mixon and Charb. I got Charb at 24 between Tank and Damian Pierce. You have Tank at 37 between Connor and Kendre. You have Charb at 30 between Gibson and Dylan. Their averages are about 42 and 26, Tank and Charb. This really speaks to, I think, how we see the what happened with the draft and all the running backs involved pretty differently, right? Yep. For me, Etienne and Walker were two overrated backs that I like reluctantly had in like my top 10 or 12, right? Etienne, proved that he couldn't really, you know, stand up to workhorse level touches, is not the pass catcher that people think he is not the, you know, super efficient runner that people think he is, particularly when it comes to, you know, tough yardage and short yardage. And the guy they drafted with, you know, third round draft capital, Tank Bigsby, is good at football. He's a more well-rounded running back than Travis Etienne. He's not the backup. He's the 1B. He's going to get some pass catching. He's going to get some short yardage. He's going to get some red zone, some high-value touches. Etienne's percentage of getting runs in from the five-yard line or closer was 22%. The NFL average was 39%, right? Now we talk about, you know, a Doug Peterson offense that does like to mix in backs, and they spent the capital on the guy. Etienne's the pick of the old regime. I think people really are underestimating the impact that Tank has on Etienne, or at least if not the impact that he has on Etienne, because they're playing two different roles. The impact that he should have on rankings and value, and the role that Tank is going to play. And I think very similar conversation when it comes to Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker is an overrated running back who, you know, sure, he'll break a 40-yard run, but then he'll get, you know, tackled for a loss. He's a home run hitter, and, you know, that's cool. That's good. He's a good running back. You know, I clearly have him ranked, you know, in my top 15. It's not like I hate the guy. But he did, you know, prove to some people that he could catch a little bit more than we thought, but, you know, never really a huge part of the passing game. And oh, does this sound familiar? A second round running back who is, you know, more well-rounded. If you don't want to say better, fine. He's inarguably the more well-rounded running back in Zach Charbonnet. They spend a second round pick on him. He's going to get high value touches. He's going to get receiving game. He's going to get short yardage, right? He's going to get red zone. He's going to get high value touches. It's the same thing, right? So the difference in our rankings reflects the difference in how we see the backfields, how we see the secondary backs, how we see things shaking out. Interestingly, though, like I think it's interesting how you're like seven apart on Charb and Tank. Like, I would expect them to be closer. And also, I think it's interesting how out in the streets, you know, people see the Charb situation very differently as far as like his rookie ADP goes. It's like 112, whereas Tank's rookie ADP is like the late second. Yet the streets don't see Walker and Etienne very, very differently, right? So I'm curious, not only like your opinion on how these backfields shake out, but also like on the gap between Charb and Tank.
Yeah. So looking at this, I meant to have Etienne one above, but it doesn't take anything away from this except it would explain the discrepancy between Tank and Charb. I think Charbonnet, like you said, Kenneth Walker, for how good he was, you know, outside of the red zone, in the red zone, he had like 10 carries for 3 yards and one touchdown. He was negative in EPA estimated points per attempt, I think, but he was not efficient with his carries. He just hit a home run every now and then. So, and I think Charbonnet is, like you said, I don't know if I'm ready to say he's better, but he's more well-rounded. And on PFF, he had a better pass blocking grade already than Kenneth Walker had. So I think he's going to have a little bit more playing time than Tank might. So I think Kenneth Walker does have the better chance out of those two to get bumped down in rankings and lose value. I'm a little bit more higher on ETN, and that's mainly because he was fourth in forced missed tackles last season per attempt with 0.26. So a quarter of the time he was making someone miss, and he averaged over 5 yards a carry, and I think showed better big playability than Kenneth Walker. He was better at catching the ball in college than he was in the pros, so I think he's going to work on that and get back to catching with his hands and not fighting the ball. Like, he's trying to attack the ball with his hands, let it come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not as high on Tank Bigsby. I was pretty high on him in rookie, like, early on in the rookie process, but I bumped him back a little after the combine and a few other things. So I just think Charbonnet has a much better chance of coming in and being the 1B as opposed to, you know, more of a 1A slash 1B than Tank does. And okay. I think ETN is just a little bit better.
All right. Yeah, and I, you know, and the streets don't disagree with you on with that regard, the way that they are viewing, you know, Charb versus Tank. You know, Jamie here saying in the chat that he's still got, you know, Etienne at 7 and Walker at 6. Like, listen, I'm going to say this politely to you and to Jamie and to the Dynasty community. Y'all have lost your minds, all right? These guys were pretenders. They were fake. They were frauds, you know, when they were in the top 8, 10, 12 running backs to begin with. And their teams just spent good draft capital on more well-rounded backs. It's time to sell.
I'm not ready to say Tank's a more well-rounded back than ETN is yet. Oh, that's the one I'm not sold on. I don't think so.
I think it's very clear he's the more well-rounded back. Okay, so Etienne is valued around the 104, according to DTC, and has gone straight up for the 104 and the 107 and for Chris Olave in trades that I pulled. What do you think of those?
I'm not giving anything more than a 105, maybe 106. I'd rather have – well, I'll do the 105. I don't know. It depends on team build. I really like JSN, and I want to get him. But if you don't need a quarterback, I would do 105 maybe. 104 just seems tough because you can still get a good quarterback with that because you get one of the three.
So as much as I'm lower on Etienne than some folks, there's a trade that went down on May 9th. Nico, the 205 and the 305, I'm still probably keeping Etienne in that regard. But as someone who thinks Etienne, excuse me, is a screaming sell, he went on the May 14th for Treylon Burks and a 24-second. Like, I might try to squeeze more out of the person just because of the market, but I'm taking Burks and the second there as someone who's looking to sell. But you know, the market loves Etienne. So if you're smart enough to agree with me out there, you know, go see what, you know, like, you could add a plus to him to get up into like a really high wide receiver, right? Or you could tier down to, you know, a lower running back in the market and get a nice plus. And I think the same goes for Kenneth Walker, right? We see here Kenneth Walker going for DJ Moore and Mac Jones. Kenneth Walker straight up for Javonte. Kenneth Walker for Dobbins and Gibson. I've got Dobbins ranked ahead of him to begin with, so give me that. Walker and a 24 first for Breece doesn't seem like enough for me for Breece, especially since I'm lower on Walker. And strangely, Kenneth Walker straight up for Jordan Love. What do you think of some of those?
Kenneth Walker for Jordan Love doesn't make any sense to me, regardless of how you feel about him. Some of those I was okay with. There were so many I kind of forgot now, but most of those were fine. There was one you said that really bothered me, but it just slipped my brain after listening to all of those.
Sorry. So Kenneth Walker for DJ Moore and Mac Jones.
I'll take. Unless I don't, if I have a few extra running backs, I would take Moore and Mac Jones side, especially in Superflex.
Kenneth Walker for Dobbins and Antonio Gibson.
I'm high on Dobbins too. I'll take Dobbins and Antonio Gibson because I think Antonio Gibson is going to finally get some love this year.
All right. Yeah, I think with Bieniemy there, You know, I think I think that that makes Gibson a buy. Okay, adding a first to Kenneth Walker for Breece Hall, 24 first.
I'll take Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Breece Hall's my RB too.
So. And like and you're higher on Walker than I am, so you know I'm taking
Breece. I would still take Breece, honestly. I think he's much more dynamic.
Kenneth Walker and Amari Cooper for Chris Olave.
I'll take Walker and Amari Cooper probably, and I like Olave a lot, but I also really like Amari Cooper with Deshaun Watson. So,
I mean, I'm taking the Olave side on that one. That's an example of if you're looking to get out of Walker like I am, put a little plus and boom, gets you into an elite wide receiver. Jamie reminded me that they also spent high draft capital on Walker and Etienne. First of all, the previous regime spent it on Etienne. Like, so I know it's narrative, but it's fact, right? And I'm not denying that. I'm not saying that this turns those guys into zero. I'm saying they were present and their teams still said, we're going to spend day two draft capital on a high level running back prospects, right? And if we like to say that draft capital determines a lot, right? Like, you know, you can't deny that, you know, that's not great news for either of these incumbent running backs, right? Now, I was lower on them going in to begin with, so maybe, like, it affects it. But, like, I don't see how Etienne and Walker are still maintaining their value and their ranking out in the streets when Chubb and Tank got drafted. I'm flummoxed by it.
The more thing I'm confused by is why Sharp is going so much more ahead if they have Etienne the same. Like, my difference is mainly that I think, you know, Sharp will get a lot more playing time because he's more well-rounded than Tank, and, you know, I think Etienne's better. But the fact that they're the same, but then Tank and Sharp are so far off, that's kind of confusing to me.
Right. Yeah. You know, that really is confusing to me. And what's also confusing to me, you know, is I am now the meme lord, you know, having, you know, if you look on the left there, you know, joking about how high Charb's ADP is versus Tank's, but how, you know, I think they're, you know, when it comes to what they're going to be, the role they're going to have on the team and the effect they have on the incumbent is the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other. Like, you know, I just don't get how Chubb and Tank can be that far apart in rankings and ADP if Etienne and Walker are so close, and if you're smart enough to agree with me that their role is going to be the same as the more well-rounded back on the team versus the incumbent. I just, you know, I don't understand the gap between Chubb's ADP and Tank's ADP. So, you know, I know.
So one other point, one reason I do have Kenneth Walker a little higher is kind of like last year when they had Rashad Penny there. It might be different because contract things. Rashad Penny on his last year, but they really didn't play Kenneth Walker much at all until, you know, he got hurt. I don't know if it's going to be kind of the same where they just let the rookie still give Kenneth Walker a bulk of the carries and let the rookie ease his way in as the season goes on. But that's just a thought I had and something I wanted to bring up to see how you felt about that.
Repeat it for me.
So last year, Kenneth Walker, I was lower on him because I knew they were just going to funnel Rashad Penny the ball because
he's
better. I wonder if they do the same thing with Kenneth Walker this year, but and just let him get the bulk of the carries early on in the season, kind of ease the rookie in.
They might ease Chubb in, but I'm on record as saying I think by the end of the year Chubb could be the 60 out of a 60-40. I think Pete Carroll has his. In Walker and Chubb has Penny and Carson if Carson could catch passes and if Carson was a little less violent a runner. Like, he's got what he had and he liked it. And I just think we're going to see a much bigger impact on the incumbent running back in both those situations than people think. I am bewildered on how they're retaining their ranking, their ADP, and their value. But interestingly enough, you mentioned Akers before. I see a trade here on May 19th, Tank straight up for Akers.
Yeah, I'll take Akers.
That's weird, right? Like, you know, I mean, I have
that is a funky trade, though. Like,
I have Tank above, right? But, like, I know in a lot of places nobody does, so I'm going to try to get that plus on Tank, right? Like,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
That's weird. And Charb straight up for Darren Waller.
I'll take Charb on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take a young running back over an aging tight end.
Oh, man, I don't know, man. Tight end premium, top 10 tight end.
It depends. You
know,
if it's more than half point, maybe, but most of the ones I'm in are half point. That's not enough for me to really tell the score.
I don't know, though. Like, he's always been a target hog, and, like, kind of that, at least for now, we have the who else are they throwing to narrative on that team. Like, Wandale Robinson, okay. You know, a slot guy with a busted ACL. Who I like him, but, like, you know, that's what he is. Hodgins, Jalen Hyatt. Oh, Bryce Ford Wheaton,
no, that's
Jamison Crowder, Darius Slayton, like, you know, like he's like the wide receiver one on the Giants.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So the next one on your list is, oh, I'm sorry. Julia has a question for us. Do we both have Breece Hall higher than Walker and Etienne? And I think for me, it's like, it's a no brainer. But for you too, and you're higher on the other guys than I am.
Yeah, I still have Breece Hall at the second running back overall behind Bijan and right before Jonathan Taylor. So even with the injury, if it weren't for the injury, I'd probably have Breece Hall number one still.
All right. So she also has a question about why I have Tank higher than Charb, even though Charb has the clearer path to be the number two with Penny. With Pentagon. So for me, I have them tightly packed. I have Tank at 23 and Charb at 24. So they're only one spot apart and they're in the same tier. Right. And so I think for me, you know, doing Tank above Charb at the moment is that, I guess, how can I put it? Like, I think Tank's landing spot was, I think, less disappointing for what I thought he was going to be, right? And whereas Charb, I think, took a bigger hit in my head because of the landing spot. Listen, they weren't great landing spots for either of them, right? Because of the guys who were there, right? I think maybe I'm a little less convinced that Etienne is viable, you know, as a 1A there than I am with Kenneth Walker, maybe. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, you know, they're right packed together and they're in the same tier. So, you know, I don't know that it's that big a deal for me. But certainly I don't know why it's that big a deal in the streets. Like, I just, like, I don't get it, right? That to me is an inefficiency that people should be exploiting. And you know, go buy Tank. I mean, I've been telling people to draft Tank, you know, anyway, because his ADP is so criminally low, but like, obviously, yeah. Like he's a screaming buy to me in that case. So next one on Josh's list is Chris Godwin, wide receiver 23.